Thank you, Alan. And with this whole theme in mind, Father Casey and I talked a few weeks ago about the scripture readings normally appointed for this Sunday, which we didn't see having a lot to say about stewardship. And so today in the church's calendar, being St. Francis Day, we sought and received permission from Bishop Lambert to replace the prayer book's readings for today with the readings for St. Francis. After all, he's probably the favorite of all the saints. It's sometimes said that he is the most popular and least emulated of all the saints. You know the story, son of a very wealthy merchant, party boy, singer of pop songs, lucky with the ladies. After going off to be a knight in the wars, he thought he would become famous. He instead got captured, spent time in jail. His health failed. He came home and was seeking what he should do with his life, and one day wandered into a derelict church building, and kneeling there in prayer, he had a vision of Jesus saying, "Francis, look, my church is falling apart. Rebuild it." And so, ever practical, he thought, "Well, I'm supposed to rebuild this church." So he just went home and went into the warehouse where his dad kept all his merchandise, grabbed a whole bunch of it, and sold it, and then gave the money to the priest. That did not please Dad, and he was hauled before the bishop, and the dad wanted the bishop to discipline this young man. Instead, Francis said, "I now am the son of my heavenly Father, and I don't need anything you've given me, Father." And he stripped off all his clothes and then put on a simple homespun robe and went out walking and telling people about Jesus. And you probably know also about him that he accepted the church's teaching that the world is a gift from God, that every single thing and person in this world is our sister and brother, which led him to write a wonderful poem, The Canticle of the Sun, a few verses of which we sang at the beginning of today's service. He taught that it is the actual duty of Christian people to protect and enjoy the natural world as stewards of God's creation and creatures ourselves, and to join the whole natural world in singing God's praise. You know, he was committed to poverty, to owning nothing. And that's not because he hated the material world. He didn't dislike it. Poverty for him meant how he made use of the material world. There's more than one way to approach the world. That was made clear to me a few years ago in seminary when I encountered a book which I mentioned in this week's email newsletter called The Purple-Headed Mountain, which, if you don't get it, that's a phrase from a song, All Things Bright and Beautiful, a rather Franciscan-sounding hymn. And with that in mind, I'm going to get back to that book in a moment. I thought we could explore our enough theme of stewardship. Remember, we've been using the symbol of 9 red apples and 1 green apple to represent to us that of all God gives us, 1/10 should be returned to God, represented by the green apple. And you know, Francis might have said something differently about that. And I was thinking about it. I really wish that when I was at Hogwarts, I mean, General Theological Seminary, which in striking ways, especially the dining hall, was a lot like Hogwarts. Plus, some would be priests thinking they were going to be able to do magic. I did not do well in the sleight of hand course. I wish I could, because what I would like to do right now is I would like to have our lineup of the 10 apples that we've seen every week here and take this cloth and throw it over them, and then have Cherry in her spangled outfit standing there like this while I went kazam. That's how Francis looked at it. All 10 apples belong to God. The question is, not only from another point of view, what would we do with that one apple, but Francis would say, what are we doing with all 10 of them? Because they all belong to God. How do I use whatever God has given me, however little or however much. In the book that I was talking about, the author, Martin Thornton, talks about three different ways that are ways Christians can approach the material world, and I've always enjoyed it, partly because it includes wine, which until recently was one of my favorite things. He talks about three 12th century Christian teachers and thinkers. One, St. Thomas Aquinas, the great theologian, who said that the material world is not just symbolic, but it is real. That things are real and need to be approached as being real. There's Francis, who saw all the created world as gifts to be cherished and loved. And a little-known Christian thinker nowadays named Hugh of St. Victor, who was one of the earliest scientists who believed that the Christian way to think of material things is in terms of how they function and of what they are composed. And as an example, the writer says, looking at a glass of wine, Francis would look at that, look at the sun shining through the ruby color, might even sniff it, probably not drink it, because he was not a big drinker. But then he would compose a song of praise to God for the beauty and wonderfulness of wine and of all of God's creation, probably calling on the grapes to join him in praising God, brother and sister grapes. Hugh, the scientist, would have looked at it, yes, smelled it, a little sip, swish it around, you know, and all that stuff they do, wine experts, you know, and all that. I don't think he spit it out, though. I wouldn't. I never understood that part. But he would also make notes about what soil it was grown in and what kind of sunlight and what kind of water and all of that, because he'd want to know how to duplicate this wine, what's the secret God has implanted in his natural world so that something as wonderful as wine can be produced. And I feel quite sure by the time he'd taken his notes, the glass was empty. And then Thomas Aquinas, the theologian of reality. Thomas. He would look at that glass of wine, say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God's name be blessed, and go. And then, for these and all his many mercies, may God's holy name be blessed and praised. Could I have another? All equally Christian ways to use matter. Thornton goes on and talks about how each of them would have approached a gorgeous Rolls-Royce automobile. I leave that to your imagination. But if you think that Thomas Aquinas didn't drive the heck out of that sucker, you're wrong, because he would have. So with all of that in mind, and with enough in mind, how do I approach what God has given me in the spirit of Francis today, but also in the spirit of these others? For Francis, creative things were so real as to be practically human, which is why he personified everyone in that poem we sang, dear sister, brother sun and sister moon, and brother animals and sister fire. And he even, at the end of his life, he added one more verse on his deathbed, praising sister death, who leads us on to Christ. Everything is a gift. Everything that we look at should lead us into praise and prayer. Can I love this world with any of that, with each individual portion of it that's under my control in that way? When I go home today, when I get to my house, can I stop for a minute and be filled with a sense of praise that I have a home, that I have a place to live? Oh, yeah, it needs work done on it and all of this sort of thing, but mainly this wonderful place that I have to live. And when my food is placed before me, am I overwhelmed with praise and thanksgiving that I have that food that is so wonderful? And if it's particularly good, how gracious God is at enabling people like my wife and me, because I'm a pretty good cook too, to produce it, that wonderful gift that God gives us. And can when the alarm goes off and I wake up in the morning, instead of just moaning another day, you know, and tomorrow's going to be Monday too, I'm sorry, folks. But can I look at my day and all the time and life and activities it contains and see it as a gift and fall into praise of God? Can I look at all my apples and see them all belonging to God? What is enough for me and my household, regardless of how much or how little we have? Can we use it in such a way that our response to God is generosity and joy? And then the prayer book gives us the gospel reading we heard today, something that's so easy to toss off, but too easy to also dismiss because it sounds too hard. And we hear, as Francis heard, Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My friends, if we learn to use our material, the world the way that Francis did, that Jesus did, that's not an easy burden. That's not a light yoke. That's a hard and trying thing to do. I think to myself, the heck with saying to somebody, the Lord will take it all upon him and you'll be off scot-free. Until I read yoke. It's not Y-O-L-K, yoke, Y-O-K-E. When a pair of oxen are hooked up to pull a wagon, a yoke is placed across their shoulders and fastened to them, and then that's connected to the cart so they can equally share the burden of hauling that cart across the prairie or up a mountain. But when you're training a new young ox that's not up, is ready to be trained but not up to full strength, you yoke it to a strong, mature, well-trained ox. And so you, the apprentice ox, find that the mature ox is carrying that load and enabling you to walk along with him to learn how to bear the load. Jesus is saying to you and to me, when we look at how hard it is to live up to God's call and to fulfill it, that Jesus invites us to be the learner. He'll carry the load and help us learn to walk in his path. That's what Francis did when he allowed himself to be yoked with Christ. The burden of his poverty, his many illnesses, his blindness most of his adult life, and ultimately receiving, as Paul put it in his own experience, receiving the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ. Francis received the wounds of Jesus' crucifixion in his hands and feet and side, and all that led him to praise. So today I challenge myself and invite you to join me to be more firmly yoked to Jesus as Francis was, and be a carer of creation as Francis was, including my apples and the one that belongs to God. For there is enough. There is enough.